When we started with our Lent bags, we had this bowl that we filled with rocks and dirt and sprinkled seed upon. And now, if you've even just managed to semi-routinely water yours, which is all mine gets, it may look something like this. You may have even had to give it a trim once or twice or who knows, maybe even more. This new life that comes from seeds that are seemingly dead and buried. With those Lent bags, I also I wrote on the paper that you got with it that you would be getting seed paper for your to bury your alleluias. And you may have looked in your bag and gone, I don't see seed paper. Why is there no seed paper? Well, that's on me because there were a couple of issues that came up right around the time when we were preparing our Lenten bags. You may remember some snow that we had, some kind of really cold days, and the seed paper did not get made. So we didn't bury it then. But with great thanks to many of our youth people, I have seed paper now, full of wildflower seeds to give to you so that you can take this paper pulp filled with seeds and toss it wherever. You can put it in a planter. You can put it in a corner of your yard that needs a little sprucing up. You can put it perhaps with some other flowers. Wherever you want. This is the one time that littering is kind of okay. Because this paper will decompose quickly and will instead leave behind just seeds to blossom and grow and spread. Because they're wildflowers, so they spread and spread and spread. That's the promise that we hear in Jesus's speech, his last public discourse in the Gospel of John. We have to know that as we're jumping yet again in our gospel. We started last week, we were in John, but we were not here. Here we have jumped in the Gospel of John. Palm Sunday has already happened. It hasn't for us. But it's happened in the Gospel of John. Jesus has already entered into Jerusalem to great fanfare. And here, as he is getting ready to celebrate his last Passover with his friends in Jerusalem, we hear this story. And in this story, Jesus shares one last time publicly what it means for him to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who is called. So Jesus is in Jerusalem with his friends, and everybody has come up for the festival of Passover, including some Greeks, which is odd because Passover is, in fact, a Jewish tradition. But there are Greeks who have come to celebrate the Passover as well. And when they come into Jerusalem, they search out disciples. Whichever disciple they can find, they happen to find one who has close relations, being from Bethsaida, close relations with the Greeks. And they find him out and they say, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." And like happens so often in the church, a request is brought to one, and then the one goes to another, and then together they go to Jesus, and finally they present this request. "There are some Greeks here who want to see you." And Jesus doesn't even respond. Jesus, instead of saying, yeah, bring them over, or I'd love to meet them, or where are they? Let me go meet them, says, the hour has come for the Son of Man. Is that a yes or a no? We don't know. But Jesus instead takes this opportunity when meeting him, when seeing him is requested by those outside of his community. He takes that chance to reiterate what it means for him to be the Son of Man, the human one, the Son of God, the Messiah. What does this mean? When we hear this in John's gospel, we hear it as John trying to tell us that the good news of Jesus is that he didn't come just for the Jews. That rather, Jesus came for the whole world. And that the whole world is clamoring to hear Jesus, to see Jesus. And Jesus instead takes the opportunity to say, if you want to see me, here's where you need to look. It's not at me, but rather through the cross, through death and being raised up, you will see God. Don't look just for me. And then in that, he also says, in being raised up, he will draw all people to himself. Not just those who follow him, not just the people of Jewish origin, not just the disciples that he has called already, but all people. That this is, in fact, a savior for the whole world. But what does it mean to be one whom Jesus calls to follow him? What does it mean to be one who seeks after Jesus, who wants to see Jesus? He gives us this great story about losing your life, about being like the grain of wheat or grass or wildflower seed that when it falls into the earth and dies, through that is raised up to new life and bears fruit. Bears good fruit. Jesus as Savior of the whole world, all people, Greeks and Jews and everyone else throughout the world, calls us to live lives where we bear good fruit. Where we are willing to even sacrifice our own life for another. Part of the text stuck with me this week. It was a hard week to hear in the news. To hear stories of yet another person who proclaims loving Jesus, to also be one to harm, to kill, to take away the lives of 8 other people, all made in the image of God. And to do so in saying, to try and say that it was in order to save other people from temptation. This was hard because it's not right. And when I hear the story of the Greeks coming and saying, we want to see Jesus, and the disciples acting as gatekeepers on whether or not they can, and then Jesus proclaiming, I came so that all may be lifted up. And then I hear stories of how children of God still mess up. Still don't hear Jesus saying to give of ourselves, not to take from others. That we still think that there is some line where we get to say who it is that God loves or is more worthy of God's life, God's grace, God's mercy, that we somehow, as people who follow Christ, can be gatekeepers to God's love. And it's just so not true. Jesus came to give the world hope and life and love and light. This promise that we have in Christ is one that surpasses nationality, background. The love of God is a love that is so great that it even covers our sin. The Greeks came and said, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And Jesus said, you know what? If you want to see me, lose your life, look beyond me, see that through death and resurrection there is new life. That God is greater than all of this. Hate is not the way. Fear is not the way. Christ came that we might bear good fruit in following him. And that good fruit is love shown to all of God's people. That good fruit is love that proclaims that God is for the world. I hope that this week you can find a way to go and bear good fruit, to spread God's love like wildflower seeds. Untamed love that spreads in a way that cannot be stopped because it is from God. Spread love. Be reckless with it, that the whole world might know and might see Jesus.